Just before we run ahead, before I share the message, I think it's every year this season, it is kind of a fruit of this season. Stephen mentioned this morning how people sometimes wrongly think the end of the year is going to be a better place. But sometimes if you have rest, it is a better place. But what I have noted is, save for the fact that there is always spiritual battles, it's as if there's a big tug of war at the moment. And I want you guys, it's always a matter of preaching to the converted, but I want us as family, I want us as fellow believers to, as we've just done, let's just lift up brothers and sisters to the Lord in this time. This is not a churchy talk here, my heart. My heart is that nobody will fall on the wayside and that nobody miss the calling that God has placed in their lives, albeit by whatever the enemy is trying. And so this is just a loving plea to all of us, just to be on the lookout for fellow believers. It might be fellow family members, people in our church. It might be in a totally different congregation, but just if God put somebody on your heart, let's reach out in this time. Got a pastoral uneasiness in the season. And I think there's bigger things going on, maybe in the spirit, even than we realize. But that's not going to be the focus. The focus is Jesus. The focus is Christ. The focus is, I want to get home one day with my natural family, but I want to get home one day with all of you guys. Imagine getting up there and says, Michael, yes! Oh, man, it was amazing. High five. Yes, and though you did, and though you did. Just on. Okay, I don't know how it's going to look like that, but that's just, you hear what I'm saying. We're a people that don't want to rock up on our own. Like, oh, made it through life. No, we want to take each other with, because that is what Christ came for. We could have just, might as well just stayed up there if it was about him. If he was a narcissist, he would have. But we're not a narcissistic family. So let's be on the lookout for one another in this time. But remember, somebody can also, the flip side of the coin is somebody else can also just be as much on the lookout for you as you are willing to be vulnerable and open about it. Okay? So if you're going to put up 6 facades, it's going to be difficult to reach out as well. So let's be the ones that drop the facade and say how you really do. Sometimes you're just not able to walk together. That's also, but at least let's be on the lookout. Let's pray for our children, for our family, for our spouses, but for one another and for those that you've walked the road with. I believe it ties in with what the Lord has done in council. Did the ministry time mean something to somebody? Did you sense a change? Did you sense that you connected with the Lord? Anybody? Can I have 3 hands? Okay, great. I feel better. I'll be able to sleep tonight. Now, my heart is that we really connect with God here. Maybe we walk out here, not, oh, yes, this is cool, yes, this is nice, and then on Wednesday we forget. But that it actually is seeds that can bring forth change. That we can be salt and light. That we, my family and I, not look like a culture of this world during the week and on a Sunday different for a moment. Okay. Anyway, that's, as I say, a sermon for another day. Let's close our eyes. Father, you are good. Father, your character is steadfast. Lord, whatever wrong thinking we have or wherever we think that you do not have a pure, amazing, beautiful, loving Father heart, we are missing it. And we just ask God that you will come and touch our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Lord, that I could boldly say that I've made up my mind about your goodness. It is not what happens in the natural, but what I've seen and what I hear in your word, and what you by grace have instilled in my heart through faith. Thank you, God, that I can build and stand upon that rock by your grace. And thank you, Lord, that we can today just stand on the rock. And we ask, reveal more of yourself to us. Break open more of your word to us. Anoint us to live the full Christian life that Christ had intended for us, that he died for. Not a mediocre, toned-down, watered-down version, but the real deal. For those that hunger for it, they will have that. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Last week we chatted about friendship, and we've been chatting this year about being anchored and the various things, very simply, that we need to be anchored to in Christian life. Starting with the Word and the Spirit and the relationship with the Lord. And so we've broken open a couple of things to understand what does it mean to be anchored, that when times of pressure, times of storms come, which I believe, funny enough, maybe spiritually, in the biggest sense we are in at the moment, that we will be anchored. That we won't think, oh, Etna, oh, Petri. No, that we'll know Christ. What are you saying? What are you saying? I said to a couple of people in this week, it's as if I've seen lately that you walk to people and they see a situation, they see a couple of circumstances, and it's as if they're looking at it like this. And they're like, Retief, it's only black. It's pitch black, Retief. I know. I've been there. I've seen it. It's pitch black. And then the Lord just graciously helped me with one specific instance, and out of that it flowed on many occasions that I just said, I believe I hear you. I acknowledge the way in which you perceive and see this. I don't write it off. I don't laugh it off. But I'm challenging you, take a step back. And so once you take a step back, you can get a better perspective. Once you take a step back, you move what I believe is sometimes out of the flesh, shooting from the hip, into a place where you become still. You submit yourself to the Lord and His Word, and you say, Lord, give perspective, and it's as if you can see. Very simple example. But it's a season where I believe we need to be anchored in the right perspective. Petri preached on it prophetically. Boom, there you have it. But make sure when you're in a situation, when you see the country, when you have things at home, when you have relational issues, that you just stop, step back, get perspective so that you can be anchored. Because unfortunately, I've seen friends, I've seen family in this time. People are tired. There's stuff going on in the spirit that they look at it like this. And so that's just a further challenge. Going back to being anchored, we said we need to be anchored in friendships. And what is a friendship? How much does friendships mean to you? Anybody with an answer? Nick, you say, yo. Is that right? Okay, got to press here. You always have that moment from letting a phone drop to the moment you have a look at it again. It seems like in days. Anyway, getting back to friends. Who of you really value friends in your life? Who's had good experiences with friends and about friends? Who's had bad, horrible, horrible experiences with friendships? Everybody? Yeah, that, I guess that's life. And so the Lord dropped this word 2 weeks or so back into my heart, and He just said, friendships. And I knew that we had to go look at Scripture and Christ when we look at friendships. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I've got a couple of those in my life, and I'm very thankful for that. But I've also been in seasons where I did not have that. And so last week we said, let's go to Scripture. That's where we as Christians start. And so in the Old Testament you had a guy that was called a friend of God. Who was he again? Abraham. God said, this is my friend. Imagine that. Yeah? That is quite cool. We said there's two elements that we took out of Genesis, or at least the beginning of the Old Testament, concerning Abraham being a friend of God. One was, Abraham had faith. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham had faith. Somebody probably just read that, but thank you, though. Abraham had faith. And the second thing of being a friend of God, Abraham was in the know. He knew what was cooking. Petri is my friend. He knows what goes on in my life. And likewise, Abram knew what God was up to. Did he have a full understanding? Did he know and see everything? No, that's not what I'm saying. But in Genesis, I think it was 15, around 15, specifically he says, will I not tell him, will I not share with Abram what I'm doing? And so he shared that. In the New Testament, we said last week, we jump into the New Testament. And so in the New Testament, in John 15, we actually find the same two things. We find even more than that. But we see with friendship in the New Testament the same thing. John 15, 13 to 15. You can go to the next slide, please. Thank you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master or lord is doing. Let up. Please note there. A friend doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from the Father. So we've been going to Scripture, saying we're talking about friendship. How can I be anchored in godly, biblical friendship? We said in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find these things, that faith is firstly an element to be noted. And when there is this faith, when there is this true friendship relationship, you're able to know what is going on. Somebody, God in this instance, will share his secret, will share his heart with you. And then we went on and God broke open that scripture for us. Very important to remember, we won't stand still at it today again. My friends, you'll be my friends if you do what I command you. And so when we say, oh, I'm a friend of Jesus, yes, I'm a Jesus follower, yes, Jesus is my friend, I wear the t-shirt, I put on the cap, I'm quite cool with youth, yes, I'm a friend with Jesus, Scripture says, do you actually do what he commands? Do you do what Jesus commands? It's easy to say you're a friend. We laughed about Facebook last week, like Chan, having millions of Facebook friends. I haven't chatted to any of them this week, or 200 and something. But Jesus said, no, let's just be honest with ourselves here. Then he takes the disciples out of what they knew, out of their realm, the way they understood things, into almost a new realm, or new way of thinking, just in the scripture. He takes them from a place where they saw things transactionally as slaves, to play where it's relationally and friendship. We're going to stop at that just now. Today, I'm just quickly going to look at friendship per se from a biblical context with the foundation of Jesus as your friend. Does that make sense? Okay. So, if you wonder where we are, that's where we are. We're just going to look at a couple of things. I don't believe it's a fixed number of things that or nuggets or elements that we can take out. There's many a wisdom around friendship, but these are the ones that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. We start off with friend foundation that we knew last week already. Jesus is my first friend. So the foundation of a friendship between myself and Philip needs to be Jesus Christ. Founded in the Word. And we're going to unpack that to know what am I saying and why am I saying that. And why do I believe it's actually important for us? You can go to the next slide, please. We see that the foundation is the faith one. So when I do have a friend, I would want there to be faith in that friendship. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Synonyms is trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, reliance, dependence. So when I'm friends with P3, for instance, there must be a matter of trust. Is it absolute? No, I don't believe it should be, because the absolute is in the foundation, being the friendship with Christ, which brings forth balance. But I'm running ahead of myself. We're going to unpack that just now. But there's a faith element in the foundation of my friendship. Is there faith in your friendships? Yeah, you can. Yes, there is. There's a trust element, a confidence element that is needed. The second part of our foundation, we think in friendships, is it's not transactional. Who of you guys find yourself in friendships, but it is transactional? Be honest. Who's in friendships and it's transactional? Eh? With your boss, yes, absolutely. But that ties in with John 15. Because your boss doesn't tell you everything. I should actually be paying you more, Pity. Oh, I've struck a good deal with you, Sonny. No, he doesn't tell you that. But it's a beautiful illustration. I'm just prodding these things so that we can think biblically about our friendships around us. And then our expectations as well. So that brings me to the second point of foundation. Foundational element of our friendships. It's not you can go back to the... You're too quick for me today, Emmy. I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master or lord is doing. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything. And last week we just quickly said then, there for me it's almost like taking it from the flesh to the spirit. Taking it from law to grace to a degree. Taking it from performance to faith. Why am I saying that? Because if I'm having a transactional friendship with Willem, he'll invite me for a coffee and I'll invite him for a coffee. He'll give me a phone call and I'll give him a phone call. He'll speak in a certain manner with me and I'll speak in a certain manner with him. And it's constantly, I'll just let down my guard as much as you let down your guard. How many times when I counsel people or when they're in a tiff and I need to come sort it out, see like two tortoises into their shells. And like, who's going to stick out his head first? No, you stick out your head first. No, you stick out your head first. No, you stick... No. And I'm just like, let's just stick out our heads, guys. Let's just come out of our shells first. And flesh friendships, unfortunately, happens like this. Why? Because erroneously, we want to protect ourselves. We want to fill ourselves. And we believe Willem might have the answer to the longing in my soul. We're going to get to it now. Willem doesn't have the answer to the longing in my soul. So I might as well just get out of my comfort zone. I might as well just put out my neck. Because I need not have a wrong expectation upon him. What is important in this sense is let our relationship, our friendships not be transactional. That's the way the world, that's the way the, let's call it the Egyptian, let's call it the Babylon system. Everything in this world is what you give, you can take. It's a give and take matter, but God said, no, you've not loved me, you've not listened to me, you've not obeyed me, you've not worshipped me, and guess what? I'm going to give you my best to die for your sins. That's friendship. That's friendship. You gave me nothing, you haven't given me anything yet, and I'm not even sure God knew beforehand, but hypothetically speaking, he could have said, I don't even know if you're going to accept this, but I'll give it to you anyway. Oh, what friendship that would be. A non-transactional type of friendship. A non-performance type of friendship. Only if Stephen go watch the rugby with me will I have coffee with him again. But so I heard he was at his neighbor yesterday and not watching the rugby with me or with Orphy. But we're in a non-transactional type of friendship. So he's got one more chance. You know how the flesh is. It takes us from being cold to a place of being warm. It takes us from being performance-driven as this world to being grace-driven. Performance to faith and trust. Faith and trust. That's the foundation. It's not transaction. And the foundation of my friendship with Petri is Jesus first. Jesus is my first friend. If Stephen is my bestie, and Jesus is somewhere third, fourth, or fifth, there's going to come problems. There's going to be an ill balance and a problem with that, and you'll see why I said this. The second element, call it nugget, call it what you want, from the foundation is to be a fulfilled friend. Say, be a fulfilled friend. It always sounds scary when we do that, but it's good just to remember. Be a fulfilled friend. Now, what is a fulfilled friend? Great. Easy crowd this morning. Be a fulfilled friend. You can go to the next slide, please. With a fulfillment of a full friend, be a content friend. Be somebody that is already content. Why am I saying this? There's a nice saying, two drowning people can't save each other. All they can do is drag each other down. If my friendship with Petri is not based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, but it is a transactional one of me drowning, but Petri, dobberi langs me, he's floating next to me, but I so desperately want to survive, I would start pulling on him to survive. But Petri, you need to be this best friend. Petri, you need to make things connect on my inside. Petri, you need to fill me. Petri, you need to be there when I WhatsApp. Petri, you need to understand when I cry. Petri, why aren't you shouting harder for the book? Petri, Petri, Petri. And Petri says, what the hell, didn't you? I want all of that from you. And so you've got these two empty vessels. Edna and I got married. It was beautiful. She always tells people about her wedding day. And then I remind her, I was there as well. And she's like, oh yeah. But she loves it. She's a romantic. So it's beautiful. I've gotten used to it after 10-ish years. Get back to my rabbit trail. I was working as a lawyer. She was working as a teacher. We lived in a nice flat in Oranjezicht in Cape Town. Life was grand. We married. God said yes. We got married with fellow believers. We're both spirit-filled. And so we went off, and new married life seemed beautiful. Until the moment you get home. Listen up, Ralph. Okay. So I was operating as a lawyer, hardcore every day, in fights, in battles, and bone dry, I would get in my car, scraping myself, scraping the barrel to get home to Ethiopia, to the oasis, to the streams of water and life and beauty, which is in the Lord. She worked hard. I'm just trying to emphasize a point, my love. She was working hard, difficult kids, major expectations, giving her absolute all, becoming bone dry, scraping herself home to get home to Steve Stunning. And so what happened is, the first couple of months, if not a year of married life, we'll get home and thinking, oh, you're going to fulfill me because we're in love. And she's like, you're going to fulfill me because we're in love. And we had the massive fights. We specifically didn't have TV because we didn't want to get filled with egoli and loving and we didn't want to get filled. We wanted to just sit at the streams of life of each other. But yet when we got home, because we didn't have the right expectations, there was major, major issues. Because I came home with an expectation on her, because I'm empty and I need to be filled. She came home empty, needing to be filled. And so in our friendship we learned, well, here's a bit of a problem. You seemed so perfect a couple of months back. But quickly we learned that if I don't spend time with the Lord on my way home, if I don't pray in tongues, if I don't take down the armor of work and put on a new mindset. She told me once, "Moenie kom prokureer op my nie," or something like that when I got in. Don't come pull lawyer on me type of thing when I got home one night. I distinctly remember that moment, fear of the Lord. And so we soon listened that I love her. She's amazing. But she cannot fully fulfill me. I cannot have the wrong expectation on her. And this is a friendship as well. But in a friendship context, that's what I believe the Lord might be saying to us. Because my foundation, my ideology around this was not right. My marriage partner is not. Yes, she's a blessing. But she's a bigger blessing in the Lord. Yes, I can be a blessing, but I'm a much better blessing in the Lord. Some of you might just know me here. Hopefully we can get to know each other better. But under the anointing of the spending time in the Word and spending time with the Lord, you're a much lekkerder persoon. You're a much better person than without that. Let's not go down that road, but you get what I'm saying. Be a fulfilled person. 3.1, best friend is a full friend. Not after having lunch with some. Sorry, I need to quickly finish that point, I guess. You heard what we said about spiritually and emotionally dry. Am I saying that Pietri should never be there for me? Are I never there for Pietri? Sorry, I just want to tie that. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them should fall down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. So hear my heart and hear the balance here. It is good to have friends. It is good to have people that you reach out to. But make sure at least one is on the rock. Both of us got home bone dry at 6 or 7 o'clock, not having anything. Then we realized, oops, problem. Now let me get myself on the rock on my way home. I had 40 or 45 minutes in traffic, so I could pray in tongues, I could listen to sermons, I could get into the Spirit, and at least ask the Lord to fill me to some degree, that if she is still not up when I get there, then at least I can say, I'll just be your knight in shining armor tonight, because Jesus is in me, I can help you. So that's in friendships, what I believe the Lord is laying on our hearts. You can now go to the next slide, please. To the next one, thanks. Yes. With that, and I believe inevitably it has been said already, do we have realistic expectations? Be a fulfilled friend. But do you have a realistic expectations of people? Do you have a biblical expectation in friendships? Sometimes brokenness and hurt has brought you to such a place, and unfortunately Jesus is not your first friend. He's not the first one you turn to and call to. He's not the one that you ask for first. And then you have an unrealistic expectation. I was deep in the world. I was at Stellenbosch and I had lots of friends. Or so I thought. And bless them, they're all great guys in their own means. But I had lots of them. But when I got saved, I lost probably 95 or 97 or 99% of them. But that was quite hard. It was such a hard thing for me, because I was living for a number of years because of hurt, rejection issues, because I was empty and I had no friend foundation. I didn't know Jesus as friend. I couldn't be fulfilled. I couldn't be content. I had this longing and this yearning for these brothers to fulfill me. So we partied together, we this together, we that together, but nothing fulfilled. And the next morning, you'll be just more empty and more empty and more empty. But I could not be alone until Christ became the first friend. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. It took a while for me to realize this is actually what I hung before. Not the friendships of the flesh that can only reap the flesh, but I longed for, I yearned for, and I seek the friendship of the Spirit that brings forth spirit and life, that brings forth true contentment. And by the way, you don't get this around any or every corner. Here's beautifully how the Word says this to us. So we're saying, let's look around for full friends, but also let's be full friends. Let's be friends that find our contentment not in saying, Tia, hoe kom drink jy my koffie? Tia, waar is die tee? Tia, not like that. To say, hey Tia, do you want some coffee? Tia, do you need some coffee? Because me and Christ, we've been having coffee. So now I've got reserves so that we can have coffee. The Word says the following. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Say, Jesus is I am. In friendships, guys, here's a little key. Jesus is I am. Jesus is I am. Oh man, it takes off such a yoke of performance. It takes off such a yoke of false and guilt and religion jargon and nonsense. Jesus is I am. Jesus, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Not whoever believes in Pietri and hangs with Pietri and drink expensive weird coffee with Pietri will be satisfied. No. The ones that come to Jesus will be satisfied. Does that take Jesus out of the equation totally as a friend or as a need for friendship? Because we can easily walk down that road also, but that will be an error. The Word is full of divine tensions. God of justice and righteousness and wrath. God of love and mercy and grace. You're like, what is it? Black and white people like me, with the way we think, want to know what is it? It's like, are you gonna strike them dead? Are you gonna love them? What? God is, it's both. But it's to find that balance. And so in friendship, it's also to find that balance. That's just a little add-on so that we don't live a lie. Scripture says also the following, for he satisfies the longing soul. Who's got a longing soul? We all have longing souls. Who had this void in their hearts before they met Christ? We all have longing souls. Have any of your friends ever truly met and blessed and filled the longing in your soul? Maybe to agree in God, absolutely. But it was God in them. For he satisfies the longing soul, the hungry soul, he fills with good things. Next scripture. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Sorry, that was a bit loud. Apologies. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. We all want to be satisfied. emotionally, here on the inside. We want to find that place of satisfaction. Edna got home, I got home. I just want to be satisfied. I'm a broken human being. I'm empty. I've given so much. I need life. I need bread. I want to be satisfied. Guess what? The little you had was then stolen as well. Going both ways. Last scripture there, just to say that we need to find the fulfillment and contentment in our first friend, being Jesus Christ. Is in your presence there is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not in the presence of your besties. Yes, in the presence of the Lord you can invite your besties, and that's a massive cool party. I said to a couple the other days, they're not in a charismatic church, I'm going to do a baby dedication. Long story short, I'm like, do you know what prophecy is? Like, no. I'm like, well, let me explain to you. And I explained to them, oh, it's cool. And I said, well, sorry, man. For us, it's so normal. When we get together for a bribe, I bribe with Peter 3 or whatever we do, it ends up in a session of praying and prophesying to one another. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Some other people might go to town and take shots. We prophesy. It's another way of having fun. It's better shots. Amen. Eternal shots. So that fullness of joy. Do we have a biblical expectation and biblical expectation management of friends, family, even church friends? Do I have the right expectation of Barna? Or is there any way in which I want Barna to fulfill my life? Is there a way in which we're looking to one another and saying, I want something from you? I said this on Facebook the other day, or a couple of months back. You can go to the next slide. You can test it, but I believe it to be true. Don't expect from people what you can only receive from God, and likewise, do not expect from God what He intended to provide to you through people. Again, it's the divine tension. Some people get hurt and like, I just want to go live on a mountain away from everybody. Me and God. Yes. He's probably going to send a couple of people, because He also uses them. All people are like, I just love my church. I just love this, and I just love my club, and I just love. But you never get out and just connect with God. They're fearful of that place as well. So we want to be a people of balance, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will give us the foundation and the balance and friendship. Don't expect from people what you can only receive from God. You cannot give me my identity. You can be the voice of prophecy that unlocks the identity in me. But the Spirit needs to do that through you. I was in a very dark place, just saved. Edna and a friend of hers prayed for me, and God gave me a new name. Believe you me, I did not look anything like that. But it changed my life. Only God could do that. Nobody could make that up that day to say who I am and the new destiny and identity that God gave me. I was probably stinking still of some night out. God said, this is who you are. And it changed my life. That word, by the way, is changing your life, because God graciously decides to use me. He's a good God. And likewise, do not expect from God what He intended to provide to you through people. That's why I believe church is so important. That's why I believe fellowship is so important. Accountability is so important. Not to be pushed as a law, not to kill, but to be placed in divine order of love, divine tension of the Spirit, in the right measure with balance. So we want to be full friends. Then the last thing, 3.3, that I learned from Edna, I said, is an open hand. Remember, I had lots of friends in the world. They're still majorly cool guys, nice acquaintances. We like each other's stuff on Facebook, but that's just how deep as it goes. And so it was really torment to lose a lot of friends. And don't tell people life's going to be the same. Your life changes after Christ. If you really wholeheartedly go after me, it does change. It changes a lot. But Edna had a very cool vibe, and something that she taught me is that she was walking with her friendships, and she's got amazing friends in her life, and she still has, and she will one day again. But at an early age, somehow in her Christian life, God taught her a principle of walking with an open hand. Because sometimes in some seasons, God has taken friends away out of her life. And it really sucked. But she learned not to try to hold on. And then sometimes God put friends in there that she did not expect. Or even thought would be friends. Like, oops, Lord, hier is 'n drukfout. Vat gou terug. Is nie myne nie. Nee, is nie myne nie. Don't understand them. No, no, not mine. And he's like, no, that. And today she testifies some of those people are her best friends. It's none of you. Relax. Something, somebody specific. God didn't want to take you back, so yeah. But to live with an open hand. You can only walk with an open hand if I believe Jesus is your first friend. My friend with Pietri, my friend with all of you, my friendship with Abby and Emmy and the different contexts that the Lord places me can only be as free as I'm firstly a friend with Christ. And so the Lord will come and He will take away what you put in there, and God will decide. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Then in the next nugget, I believe, for friends is that we share. We share. Proverbs 12 verse 26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Choose well, because friends rub off. Choose well, because friends rub off. Does that mean you only love certain people? You don't. What about the lost? No, you love, but you love with the right vision. You love with Jesus is my first friend. You love with He will do the rubbing off here. Nothing or nobody else. You can go to the next slide. Read up and I heard this said the other day, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Who just got a fright? Please don't put up your hand. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's based on the following scripture in Proverbs 13:20. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The thing is of friends is that they share vision, they share heart, they share father, they share the essence of life. You look at Paul with all of his ministry colleagues that he calls friends the whole time in the New Testament, David and Jonathan. We don't have time to go into that, but these things rub off. We share these visions, we share heart together, and we share destination together. We're on the same road. More often than not, friends have the same God. Yeah, but what? Can I not be friends with a Muslim? Of course you can. The thing is Jesus Christ your first friend? And is He the one that you base your foundation upon? I don't know how far such a friendship can go, or with an atheist, or whatever the case may be. Many Christians are friends and they're thinking they've got the same God, but actually they're a bit narcissistic. They do have the same God, but the God is themselves. They're actually just, sorry, that's pretty harsh, that's kind of how it is. We just look like the culture and we're like, yes, we're both Christians, but we live exactly like the culture, like the world. Yes, we do share the same God, but the God of self, not the God of the Bible. And so when you choose your friends, just choose well. You might be thinking about, this just looks like a lot of trouble to me. Why don't I just keep without them? You're going to miss out on a part of God. And a part of your own destiny, and a part of your own growth, and a part of your own growth in Christ-likeness if you decide to go that route either, because it's not the biblical route. If you share the flesh with friends, you'll reap the flesh. If you sow and you share the Spirit with friends, you'll reap the Spirit. I had a friend, I told this to, I think, I don't know, maybe Bernard, somebody the other day. I've had a friend now for 13, 14 years. His name is Hein. If I phone Hein up and I put him on speakerphone now, and he won't mind me saying this, and I ask him, hello Hein, you're a thief. Who won the Curry Cup yesterday? Might ask me two things. What is the Curry Cup? And who was playing? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Myself and Hein have very few cultural commonalities. Very few things that we naturally would have been doing together if it was not for the Lord. When I met him the first time was the day that I got baptized at his parents' house in Clifton. He had a book barkey at that stage. He wore weird clothes. I came out of the world, out of Stellenbosch, and I was thinking I was quite cool, and I thought, I'm a nerd. But anyway, God said I should be baptized. He apparently saw me and thought, this guy's not going to make it. He's definitely not going to make it. That we've told to one another ever since. And so I thought, freaky mensa. And he thought, you're not going to make it. You think you're too cool. But yet today, and here's what I found, is Christ is his first friend. And by the grace of God, Christ has become my first friend. And he's really one of my best friends. Not because he doesn't even like cars or any other stuff that I liked. None of the things that are nothing, but we share a passion and a zeal and a fire for the Lord. And hearing for, oh yeah, we love praying together. We can pray together for hours upon hours upon hours. And so God had just had to come open my eyes. I remember I got saved and then 3 years later we got married. So that was fairly fresh. And on our wedding day, there was there, was lots of the old friends from Varsity as well. And they did not know who this best man was. Who is this freaky guy that's Retief's best man? They were just like, who is this guy? And many guys were offended because, who's this guy? We've never seen him and he's now all of a sudden your best man. But yet there was a divine friendship built on a foundation that was from God and not of man, that was from God and not of culture, that was from spirit and not from flesh. This is my prayer for us. This is my prayer for you, because you know what? Friendships and friends rub off. Myself and Hein, Edna, you guys, we have the same destination. We can point each other back. If Stephen trips up and falls, let me rather say, if I trip up and fall, Stephen can say, hey man, the worm is split. Remember the vision the Lord's given us. Hey, you remember this. And he can point me in the right direction. Elizabeth Elliot says the following, the will of God is not something you add to your life. The will of God is not something you add to your life. It's a course you choose. You either line yourself up with the Son of God, or you capitulate to the principle which governs the rest of the world. Are we willing to line ourselves up with the friendships that God wants us to line up? Is it easy at first if you need to make changes? No, it's not. The flesh hates it. But God will come and he will speak into your life. Ruan visited our church way back and he said one night at Men's Monday, if you don't like your harvest, change your seed. It makes a lot of sense. And I said, I'll use this again. I want to say, if you don't like your harvest, change your friends. I know it's not applicable to you churchy people. That's all good. But you're going to go out with this message and share it with others. Second last nugget before we finish off. What is something that we can learn from friendship and from the Word and from Christ as our forerunner? You can go to the next slide, please. Follow the first friend. As he's your first friend, as he is your foundation, follow in his ways. His ways is very simply this. John 15:13, that says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Not get a tattoo for them. Not hide a joint for them. Not buy booze for them. Not skin them. Not any of those things that we thought is real friendship? No. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Are we follow friends of Christ? Remember, we're not transactional friends anymore. We're relational friends of faith. And by the grace of God, we want to walk in love. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. Just let the word just speak. A friend loves at all times. Might sound fine in church. It's different in different contexts sometimes. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born from a time of adversity. When we look at our friendships, let's go meditate on 1 Corinthians 13. What is love? And you'll realize, wow, the word sketches such a different picture to us than what we see and what the world sees us. We both wear blue jerseys. It's a bit more than that. Sorry, Richard. We all wear white and blue jerseys. Richard is a global supporter, just to let you in on the joke. You have a friend! Jesus, help us. Now you know who to reach out to. All of the fellow enlightened ones amongst us. Love glues together, guys. Love glues together. Not because that person's the cool kid. No, love glues together. The guy that I checked out and thought, what are you going to tell me? Is the guy that has laid down his life for us so many times. I don't want to rob him of his blessing in heaven. But when we moved out to Malmesbury for those 3.5 years, that we were practically without an income, he would be the guy that buys jobs, comes over, cries for us, and in our tears prophesies and prays over us and says, God believes us. God believes in us. God has spoken to us. This is of him. This is not the enemy's work. We're not deceived. He would be the one that, and he will forgive me for saying this, take for months on end half of his salary and bless us so that we can fulfill and walk in the ways of the Lord. Not because we belong to his ministry, not because this, not because that, because Christ is his first friend and he listens to his first friend. And so I can honor him in his absence today. But so I believe many of you have that fulfilled friend mentality of saying, I want to love. Yes, sometimes I'll take shots and I'm going to need it. But I know Christ is then going to come manifest himself through us as well to one another. Last point. Be that friend. Be that friend. I would like and love to be a friend like Hein. I would love to do that. Because I know how it saved me and how it blessed me and how Christ-like character was shown to me when I did not know it. Be that friend you want, guys. And then lastly, and this is really obvious, and I think that's something that the Spirit maybe showed Demi as well, but be real. You can be real and authentic. Craig Rochelle said the following. He said, we may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. Hey? People rarely will say, hey, Rit, if I like this and I like that, and that seems like a good thing. They will many a times tell me, I love the fact that you're honest. That you tell us when you struggle or with what you struggle with. Many, many times. People that I listen to, people that I make time for, people that I can eagerly walk with, wholeheartedly walk with, are people that can honestly tell me this is my weakness. We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. You know what? I can be weak. I can come out of my tortoise shell with Willem. If I know that, with all due respect, Willem cannot truly reject me. Because I'm founded with my first friend in a friendship that is eternal and true. It might sound easier than it sometimes is, but that is the truth. My friendship with Christ is truly built on the rock. I will not get that offended if he hurts me or says something to me. And in that space of what I believe is biblical security for friendship, I can then also open up and say, hey, Willem, accept on the very proof. Please help. Sometimes some of you have done that and you got hurt. And I'm very sorry about that. That's not the heart of the Lord. But He's also not going to take that away. That we need these relationships in our lives. That we need to sometimes take off
the mombakies.
Take off the facade so that we can be honest and weak before one another. Transparent, accountable. Only one friend in our friendship needs to be perfect and strong. And that's Jesus. My friendship with AB doesn't need to be strong. He doesn't need to be all sorted out. He phoned me, I think, on Monday, and he said, "You all right?" Just like that. Just like that. But it meant the world to me. But he knows that he walks the road with me spiritually, but he doesn't have to know that the Retief is all sorted out constantly for him to be anchored, because he's friends with Christ first. That is the freedom that we have. That is the freedom that we have in our friendships. Edna and I are friends, but I've made up my mind and I've made up my heart that she need not be perfect. I push hard for it. She'll tell you that. And vice versa, if I might add. But the foundation is that Christ should be and is her first friend. And He's the one that can be perfect and strong. I've shown utter weakness before her. Without being condemned, without being destroyed. Because I had that first, and because she has that first. As a man towards his wife, you can show that weakness, and in your friendship you can show that weakness if both is found in Christ. Friendship is supernatural. True friendship is supernatural. You say, "Well, these two unbelievers, they're the best of mates." If you go scratch deeper, and if you look at it, the eternal value and what they really share and what they really value and where it might be heading, have an honest look at those again. I truly believe friendship is of God. And there's only a biblical context where we can bear all the rightful fruit of that. If Christ is our first fruit. Will you stand with me, please? Let's just quiet our own hearts and minds. The Holy Spirit has spoken different things to different people today. Just take a moment to acknowledge that with the Lord personally and to pray around that, you and Him. I just keep hearing the word forgiveness, and I believe I just sense three people that's either one person that needs to forgive three friends, or it's three people individually that maybe need to forgive certain people that you thought were friends or were friends in your life, but things just went south. Maybe the foundation was skewed, the balance wasn't right. It wasn't fullness and wholeness, but whatever the case may be, I do believe the Holy Spirit is maybe prodding you to forgive. And the word says, confess your sins to one another. So even if you feel it's necessary to come and chat to me or someone afterwards, please, I want you to bring it into the light, because sometimes that might just be prohibiting you to walk in the fullness of the friendships that the Lord does have for you, or the restoration of friendship that He has for you. And then I just, earlier and now again, I just hear the words, "I am." Thank you, God, that we can declare, "You are I am." And thank you that you'll be our first go-to friend. You want to be our first go-to friend. He also called us to walk in obedience to what you command, Christ. We ask, Holy Spirit, help us to walk in that obedience and to turn to that foundation always first, in faith, and leading our ears to say, what are you saying? And from that place then to befriend and to also receive friendship. Thank you that we are also the friendly hands and feet of God in many instances. Help us not to be selfish, to keep that from anybody. Help us to love and to befriend through the walls we spoke about a couple of weeks back. Help us to befriend and to see right as Peter preached on a couple of weeks back. Thank you. We notice what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We notice how the Holy Spirit, how you are challenging us. And we just say, help us to walk in that. Lastly, I just had a moment very simply to pray for us for friendship. Those we have that is of you and are on the right foundation, please bless them, keep them, and protect them. Those of us that need friendships, Godships as such, we pray for them. Thank you, Lord. It's never a matter of flesh, it's never a matter of striving or manipulation.